Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
All right, well, in case you can't make it out, the t-shirt I'm wearing today says, Best Day Ever. Now, if you or anyone that you love participates in JAM, you'll recognize Best Day Ever. This has been the theme of our kids' ministry leading up today. And what better way to describe Easter than that? As a follower of Jesus, I agree. Best day ever. Amen? Now, just as an aside, the next take-home kit for the JAM at home is all on a theme called Blueprints, Building Your Life Off of God's Plan. And in that package, you get like a little packet of Lego bricks. And when I was a kid, oh man, this was my favorite toy. What I love about Lego is that if you're creative, it's a toy, but if you're creative, it can be any toy you want it to be. And that was the part that was so much fun. So I make a little human out of this little kit here, but you can make anything you want. And as a kid, I especially loved space Lego. Benny here, man, he was my hero. I spent more time playing with Benny than any other toy that I can think of. And I would create spaceships and moon bases, and I'd stage these really elaborate adventures. And then when I got tired of that scenario, I'd tear it all down and I'd build a new one. Kind of a new creation every week. Now, we've been talking, you've heard this verse, you've read this verse over and over again this morning about new creation. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Now, this makes me wonder, how does God relate to creation? And what does this new creation mean in the context of Christ? How does Jesus dying and rising back to life on Easter, how does that connect to all this? Well, let's start at the beginning of the story. In the beginning, we encounter the God of creation. He makes. He is the maker. He's the master builder. He made everything, including us, humanity. And not only did he make us, he also partnered with us. He invited human beings to help him push back the darkness and chaos, and he commands us to fill the world with life and order. Pretty cool, huh? Now, tragically, it doesn't take long for us to make this kind of rebellious decision to break that partnership with God. And now, instead of life and order with God, we contend with death and chaos on practically a daily basis, I'd say. And in fact, on some of my darker, more chaotic days, I sometimes wonder what on earth keeps God from treating his creation the same way that I would treat my creation. You know, shouldn't he eventually just get tired of us and just tear it all down and make something new? Well, you don't have to read very far in the Bible to discover that God actually kind of tries that. You enter Noah and the ark. Now, after that great flood, God starts fresh with humanity. Yet even with this second chance, we still have the same old problem. We are hell-bent on doing things our own way. And we're going to need way more than a second chance. An eternity of second chances isn't going to change this predicament. We need some kind of change from the inside out. Some kind of new creation. And we're not just talking about rearranging the pieces. This need for a change from the inside out is actually a major theme that gets developed in the Bible. The prophet Isaiah gets us looking forward to new creation with his word from God. He says, pay close attention now. I'm creating new heavens and a new earth, And all the earlier troubles, chaos and pain, all the things of the past, they're going to be forgotten. And another prophet, Ezekiel, he brings this expectation for a new creation to an even deeper human level here. Again, speaking in God's voice, he writes, "I'll pour pure water over you and scrub you clean. I'll give you a new heart, put a new spirit in you. I'll remove the stone heart from your body, and I'll replace it with a heart that's God-willed, not self-willed." So by the time we finish reading the Old Testament, we're expecting something big. Something big enough to put all the troubles and chaos and pain in the rearview mirror. Something big enough to give you and me and everyone a new heart. Keep reading, and you'll discover that something, or rather someone, that's going to make everything new is Jesus Christ. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ set in motion a chain reaction of new creation. That's what we're going to explore this morning. What does it mean to experience new creation? But before we go there, I just want to pause with a little advertisement for this sermon series, okay? We're calling it Origins, Exploring Our Spiritual Roots. So it's no secret that there's a lot of churches out there. I mean, there's a lot of churches in Cochrane, and there's many different kinds of churches. And while sadly a lot of this variety has to do with disagreement and conflict that Christians have with each other, I really believe that the healthiest perspective on all this diversity is to see the church as a sparkling diamond. The thing that makes a diamond so beautiful is that it sparkles, and that happens because of all the facets that are cut into it. And so I think that each movement contributes something special to our collective understanding of what it means to have a relationship with God. And every denomination shines brightly in some way to make the whole thing sparkle more beautifully. So that leads to the question, what's so special about us? What makes the Christian and Missionary Alliance shine brightly? Well, since the Alliance movement began in the late 1800s, we've always been excited to talk about our experience with Jesus. When we talk about this experience, We talk about Jesus in four different ways. Sometimes we call this the fourfold gospel. We experience Christ as our sanctifier, Christ as our healer, and Christ as our coming king. And in the weeks ahead, Bob and Randall, they're going to help us explore these three folds of the fourfold gospel as part of this series called Origins. And what we want to do is we want to cultivate an appreciation for the spiritual heritage that we have as an Alliance church. But more importantly than that, we want to celebrate Jesus. And we want to experience all the goodness and transformation that comes with a relationship and knowing him. Now, I left one out. First and foremost, we talk about and experience Christ as our Savior. And seeing as this is Easter Sunday and all, what better way to launch a series about Alliance origins than to celebrate Christ, our risen Savior? The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ set in motion a chain reaction of new creation in this world. Now, if you want to follow along the text, that's kind of where my thoughts are rooted in, I would invite you to turn on your Bible or open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and just keep it there for a few minutes. And we'll turn our attention there in a minute. But in this little passage in Paul's letter, he summarizes what it means to experience new creation. In a phrase, the old is gone and the new is here. So first, let's talk about out with the old. When we want to say that we're dissatisfied, we're bored, we're frustrated, we're just fed up, we will say that we're just tired of the same old, same old. Now, when we're honest with ourselves, and that's actually pretty tricky, but let's assume for a minute that we're honest with ourselves, we will admit that most of the time, all this same old stuff that we're just fed up with, it somehow comes from problems of our own making, right? We get stuck in the same old. How do we do that? Well, it's not like we go out of our way to cultivate bad habits and be rebellious toward God, but we have a way of repeating the same mistakes over and over again, don't we? A little bit of procrastination here, a few shortcuts over there, and before you know it, we're in a real pickle. We find ourselves that we had relationships that were once our lifeline, well, now they're stale and distant. If we procrastinated enough on those, we eventually find ourselves isolated and alienated. When you go through high school, they pump you up and tell you to follow your dreams and your ambitions. These things are like our North Star for our lives, right? The things that we want to do with our lives. Well, over time, we let them become compromised and foggy. And eventually, we become aimless, directionless. And as these disappointments that come along with isolation and aimlessness, as they start to pile up, we start to wonder where things went wrong. Is this really what life is all about? Well, deep down inside, I think we all know the answer to that is no, absolutely not. We're meant to live for so much more than this, but how? Well, for a lot of us, we set about on self-improvement projects. Most of the time, however, it just doesn't really work that well, right? Like, we're still haunted by isolation and aimlessness, and each new self-help project just feels a little bit like just rearranging the Lego blocks, doesn't it? So here's the heart of the problem. It's us. From the beginning, we've been hell-bent on doing things our own way. It's what drives us to run away from God instead of toward Him. We find ourselves cut off from God's purposes, cut off from God's life, cut off from God's friendship. We're meant to live for so much more, but how? How can we get a truly fresh start? Well, let's go back to what Paul said. Out with the old, in with the new. I'm going to read now from 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to start at verse 16. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. The Easter story points a new way to dealing with the same old. The resurrection of Christ is something completely new, and it set in motion God's plan for new creation. This is Paul's description. What I just read, it's his description of what a fresh start looks like. To be in Christ, the risen Savior, it results in a few things. And so let's focus on three results of being in Christ. The first result is that we get a new perspective on the world. Verse 16 says, we don't regard anyone from a worldly point of view, even though we once regarded Christ that way. Jesus spent a lot of time teaching about his upside-down kingdom. He was telling people all the time, the first will be last, The last will be first. Just a couple of days ago here, when we celebrated Good Friday, we just reflected on the idea that Jesus is for losers. Well, there's two ways that you can react to that expression, can't you? There's a positive one and a negative one. And I think that the worldly point of view that Paul has in mind here would hear that statement, Jesus is for losers, and think that, no, that's a bad thing. I don't want to be a loser. I definitely don't want to need Jesus. However, when we're in Christ, we get a new perspective. And it results from being a citizen of that upside-down kingdom. And this makes this statement a very good thing. Thank God that Jesus is for losers like me. I don't know what I'd do without him. Secondly, new creation in Christ results in a new partnership with God. Verse 18, all this new creation stuff is from God who reconciled us to him through Christ. Excuse me. From the beginning of creation, God's desire has been to have a partnership with his image bearers. That's us, people. Now, the sad result of human history is that it's just a long story of how that partnership is continually broken from our side. The move God made by raising Christ from the dead, that changes the game. There's finally a new way to be right with God and to have that partnership restored. And if you want to be reconciled with God, you just got to get real with him. You got to confess your need for a fresh start and just believe the good news that Jesus Christ died for your sins. There aren't any magic words that you need to pray for this to happen. You just need to be open to him and trust him. You can do that anytime. You can do that right now in your own spirit. Thirdly, being in Christ results in a new purpose for living. Paul writes, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. A little later he says he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. The ministry and message of reconciliation. Jesus sums this whole idea up with a real simple, catchy phrase when he was preaching on the mountain. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, and blessed are the water bringers." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Remember how I said that the resurrection set in motion a chain reaction? Well, your new purpose, once you're in Christ, your new purpose for living is to be a part of that chain reaction. Getting right with God yourself is just the beginning. God wants to partner with you to help others get right with him as well. Now, that can be a little bit scary, the thought of like helping other people, you know, find Jesus and stuff. But that's part of it. God also wants to partner with you to bring peace to the world. Blessed are the peacemakers. You can help others get right, not just with God, but with themselves, with you, with other people, with the rest of creation. That's how big this new creation chain reaction is going to be. It's a pretty cool reason to live, isn't it? Christ, our risen Savior, sets us up with a fresh start. He gives us a new perspective, a new partnership, and a new purpose. So what does that look like for us here and now? Well, in relation to the new perspective on the world, maybe it's going to come with an attitude adjustment. You know, there's people that you have a hard time with accepting and feeling good being around and appreciating. Well, maybe the new perspective will make it so that there'll be people that those are the people you'll be spending more time with. In relation to the new partnership with God, maybe it's going to come with a rearrangement of some of your priorities. Instead of imposing your will on a situation, you might be wise to stop and ask what God's will is in a situation. We keep coming back to this theme over and over again about the importance to listening to God's voice. That's really what it's all about, is letting God have a say in what's going on in your world. In relation to living into our new purpose, maybe it's time to take some holy risks. I mean, there are bound to be situations and conversations that you find yourself in that if you're sensitive and you're listening to God, you're going to sense that he's going to want to be invited into those conversations and in those situations. So what's stopping you from making that invitation and bringing God into it? This is where it gets a little bit tricky, I think. It's one thing to get a fresh start, but it's a whole other thing to give one, isn't it? Let me leave you with a little bit of advice. As your creator, God can be completely trusted with your life. All right? And when he transforms you into a new creation, he actually is putting you in touch with your true self. All right? Being a Jesus follower is the exact opposite of kind of getting assimilated into like some sort of collective Borg-like hive mind. In truth, following Jesus actually makes you more like you. He's your creator, after all. Think of it this way. Ecologists have learned that biodiversity is like super important in an ecosystem. Each creature has a purpose. Just think about our local playground, the Canadian Rockies. It's at its best when each creature lives for what it was created for. Think about it. Mountain sheep, beard lichen. I love that stuff. Great horned owls, Douglas fir trees. They all play an important role in what makes the Canadian Rockies the Rockies, right? Well, in a similar way, the upside-down kingdom of God is at its best when each of us, God's new creatures, when we're living into our unique purpose that God designed us for. This is what makes being a disciple of Jesus so exciting. It's a life of discovery. We don't have to feel any pressure to conform to anything other than what God designed us for. So it's one thing to get a fresh start. It's a whole nother thing to give one. Now, on the one hand, look around. There are all kinds of people and situations where a fresh start is just dearly needed. On the other hand, God's planted each and every single one of us to be just the right people in those situations to offer that fresh start. So when are you going to take a holy risk? God in Christ has set in motion a chain reaction of new creation. It's ever since that first Easter Sunday, it's been out with the old and in with the new. And this comes with a new perspective, partnership, and purpose for our lives. And you have the offer of a fresh start. Are you going to receive it? God also has a plan to use you to spread new creation to a world in which he's planted you in a unique space. You have the opportunity to share God's offer of a fresh start. Are you going to share it? Who are you going to share it with? Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you so much for what you set in motion that first Easter Sunday. Words are not enough to express the gratitude. All we can do is respond with our lives, the way we live, the way we think, the way we relate. And so we just offer ourselves back to you today. Lord, I sense that maybe there's some
who've never really tasted what new creation is like in their life. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just envelop that person in your love right now. I pray that the work of new creation would just take hold as they open their lives up to Jesus and trust in him as their Savior. And Lord, we just want to celebrate. We want to celebrate just the goodness of what was set in motion by his blood and in his name, in his kingdom. I am free, for the love of Jesus Christ has resurrected me. Lord, we just want to respond to you now and give you thanks for that new life. Amen.